Hey everybody, it's Lacey.
And I'm Lauren.
And we're back together again for another episode of the Llamas Podcast.
And tonight, today, whatever time it is, it's the holidays. Time has no meaning. But we're going to talk a little bit more about the holiday homicide. But I wanted to ask Lacey a question because it does relate to murder and everything. Have you watched The Beast in Me on Netflix?
No.
Okay, so I'm going to
heard about this.
It is like, it's fiction, but it is like a thriller, like criminal thing. It is awesome. Claire Danes is in it. The guy that's in it used to be on this show called Brothers and Sisters on ABC back in the day. He played like the gay attorney. He was like Mitchell on Modern Family, but without the funny, kind of that character.
Yeah.
And in this, he plays a villain, and he does it so well. Like, but it is a great show, but it's a thriller. It's not based on real, but I'm going to need you to watch it, and I need everybody to watch it and people to text me, because I will say it's a slow burn. The first episode or two, I was like, why is everybody watching this? This is kind of boring. And then it's like, all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I can't go to bed because I have to finish the next. It's only, I think, 8 episodes, but
Okay.
It's a story about this woman who's a writer, and her next door, she gets a new like next door neighbor in this like really rich neighborhood somewhere outside of New York. But anyways, he has been accused of killing his wife, but it was noted it was suicide. And so this writer decides she's going to like write his biography, and he gives her permission because they kind of have this weird friendship thing. And all, it's like along the way, you're trying to decide, did he really kill his wife? Is he evil? Is he not? And it's a really good one. So to all of you that listen to this, go watch it. Send me your thoughts, because I want to talk about it with somebody. Because right before this, I texted two of my other friends and was like, have y'all watched this show? And they're like, no. One said, I'm rewatching Bridgerton. And I was like, no. We've already seen that. Let's watch something else.
So me and Mark are currently watching, what is it? Escaping the Cult, My Cult or something like that. But it's different episodes, different. So far it's been all women. I don't know if there'll be a male, but so far it's been all women escaping these cults that they got into. And, you know, I am just, I've always been fascinated, seems so wrong, because I know there's so many bad things in these cults, and I'm watching this show, but I don't know another word to use, so that's just the word I'm going to use. And I know of so many different cults, and I didn't realize there's so many more. Like, one of the episodes, Lauren, was this big cult in Georgia, and if y'all know us, we live in South Carolina, and it was just wild. This man just started this cult, and he got an idea from a movie, and he claimed that they were just Egyptians and Egyptian ancestors, and then started this cult church saying that they're claiming they're Egyptians, and it like worked, and it's how they got money. Anyways, that's my current show, so I'm plugging that for you to watch.
What's it on?
It's on, well, I guess it's on Hulu, but I watch it through Disney Plus. So, but it's like Escaping Cult or something like that, but I'll get it to you.
Speaking of something like that, have you watched Shiny Happy People?
Is that the one on the
first season is the Duggars?
That, yes, I watched the first season.
The second season has came out, and it's not so much about the Duggars. It's pretty much a cult, though, because it's still like
this to my list.
Their church. And that may be a whole episode for the podcast, because the way they're treating these teenagers, and watch season two, and then we may need to do a podcast episode on it. But to all you out there, there is a season two of Shiny Happy People, and it's kind of much about,
had I known.
It hasn't been publicized as much, I think, because it's not the Duggars, but it's still that same concept.
Sure.
But it was really good, so go watch that too.
Okay. And before we jump in the episode, me, Lauren, and Wendy, who produces this show, just got back from Disney World. Highlight, two or three highlights of your trip, Lauren, before we jump in. I want to go back. That's all I know. That's, Mac looked at me this morning and goes, Mommy. I said, yes. He goes, I want to ride Slinky Dog. And I said, dude, I want to ride Slinky Dog too.
We went the week of December 12th, which was before school was out. So it was awesome because the crowds were so little. I think one of the best things was it wasn't hot. Like we went, and the other times we went to Disney recently, it's been like 90 degrees. So it was really nice. It wasn't hot. One cool thing is we did breakfast at Garden Grill, which is Chippendale, and it's actually the food from a lot of the food is like farm to table type food.
Oh, that's
So,
awesome.
and it's if you ride Living with the Land, you can see Disney has this whole like horticulture thing, and it's actually a really green initiative. But anyways, Chippendale are there, which is why we did it. And we were the family of the day, and it was really cool. So what that meant was when it was Chip, Dale, Mickey, and Pluto. And so they go around. If you haven't been to Disney dining with character dining, one character comes per table. So like Chip would come, then Dale, then Pluto, then Mickey. They all four don't come together. So being family of the day, the second they came out there, we got a picture with all four of them at one time, which was really
That's
cool,
awesome.
and my children loved it. I'm trying to think. We also we went to Disney Springs, of course, and I'm gonna give a plug for a restaurant called the Boathouse. Non-character dining, but if you're on the dining plan, it is on that. But it was a really nice restaurant. We sat on the water. It was really cool to do something different. And we just had a great time. Like low lines. It was just me and my husband and the two kids. So like we did not get to do some of the rides we normally would. Like neither one of my kids is tall enough to ride Tron. You have to be 48 inches. And one of my friends, Erin, her daughter is the same age as my daughter. She's 5. And Erin texts me and she goes, her daughter's tall. So she texts me and she goes, Ada's 4'2". And my response to this, she also had the flu at this time, and she was telling me about her being sick. My response was, well, she can ride Tron now. That is where my mind goes. But so we didn't ride Tron. We didn't ride. I think Kylie may have been tall enough to ride Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, but that is my favorite overall ride. That and Tower of Terror are my two favorite rides. And I did not ride them this time because I didn't want to make my husband be with the kids, and I'll ride by myself. I don't care, but I didn't want to put that on him. But honestly, even not riding my two favorite rides was still a lot of fun with the girls and with them. But hopefully next time we go, I will get to ride Guardians again.
So we have the disability pass, and so we plan, and Luke is pretty tall now. He's 42 inches, so he can ride most of the rides. And 44. 44.
Kylie's
Luke just
40,
measurements.
44, 45, and she could ride most of the rides.
And so I put him on Space Mountain and I did not realize how bad that was. And after that, he's just kind of traumatized from roller coasters. I felt so bad. Mark said he told me not to put him on it and was like, why don't you give him a break? But I thought he meant like give him a break from riding. And I was like, well, we've only ridden one ride. He should be fine. And he just ate, but he was trying. That's what he really meant was maybe not this ride. And I wish I had it. I wish I had done smaller things and maybe saved that for last. It's just we happened to be in that part because we went right first in Magic Kingdom. And those were the first sections that we were in for rides. And he cried. Oh God, I heard him crying in the ride and it was terrible. I felt so bad. But so we did other roller coasters. He was really not a fan, but my 4-year-old Mac loved all the rides, all the roller coasters. All he wanted to do was ride another ride. He is definitely my thrill seeker. We did Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and he got off. He goes, Mommy, I want to do that again. And the worker goes, do you want to do that again? He goes, yes. And so I was like, Luke, do you want to do it again? He goes, no. So my oldest niece, Addison, she went with us. So she took Luke back to Mark and my mother-in-law, and me and Mac went and rode. She took us to the front of the line and let us cut in front of everybody and ride it again. So that was really cool. He had so much fun. He loved that. He loved Slinky Dog. I think Slinky Dog was probably one of his favorite rides. And Luke really liked the shows. He really liked the characters and like just kind of the experience of it all. Like he just loves walking around and taking in scenery and things like that. And when you do Drink Around the World at Epcot, there's like a pond with birds and stuff. My kids were obsessed with the birds and the ducks. They kept wanting to go hang out by the pond and stuff. So I definitely think Animal Kingdom would be a good fit for my kids. We just didn't go this time because I heard it was under construction. But as much as they love animals, I think that'll be a good park for us to go to next time. And I definitely want a resort day next time because we didn't have any time with 3 days in three parks to like go to the pool, go to the arcade. And those were things like my kids expressed interest in, but with paying so much money for the parks, we just didn't have, time to do. But yeah, all we've talked about is wanting to go. Even Luke has said he has wanted to go back and he'll ride the rides. So I think maybe if we just stick to some of the smaller stuff, like even if he was tall enough for Tron, I could not put him on anything. I think he just, I don't, maybe as he gets older, he'll get more into rides, but right now he's just not.
Mine enjoys certain rides. Like Maddie will sit there. She would ride the Alien Swirling Saucers
I
all
know
day,
that.
nonstop. That is her favorite ride. I
Yeah.
don't know what it is, but she giggles, she smiles. Kylie did ride Slinky Dog and she hated it, which is, she's rode roller coasters. So
Yeah.
she has, at Universal, she rode Flight of the Hippogriff or whatever. It's in, I don't know anything about Harry Potter, but it was in Harry Potter World and she rode it. She rode Poppy's roller coaster, which I'm gonna be honest, Poppy's roller coaster in Universal was rougher than Slinky Dog. But for some reason, she got on Slinky Dog and was terrified. She was gripping my arm, yelling, "My fear, my fear." I don't know why my fear was what she was, but
Yeah.
she was here. And the thing that sucks about the Slinky Dog, but is good and bad, is like you think it's over and it's not. It just keeps going. And
That
I
was
will.
Space Mountain with a crying child that I can't even get beside because he's like you're in front.
I will tell you though, one roller, I will ride almost anything. I'm not scared of hardly any rides. Nothing makes me motion sick. But one ride I will never do again is at Universal. It is the Jurassic Park ride. It is like the Raptor roller coaster, whatever. It's a new ride. Well, it's at least they used to have the Dueling Dragons. They've taken away that. This is there now. All you have is like a lap bar. You don't have a shoulder harness. You have a lap bar. You're going upside down. I wasn't scared,
No.
but that ride, I got off and my head hurt.
Oh,
Like,
I bet.
you were like knocking, like your head was going back and forth, and you swoop over water and you literally think you're going in the water. So, I don't know if Kylie has that experience with Slinky Dog where she will never ride it again because for some reason it traumatized her or not.
Wasn't Space Mountain? Is there a harness on Space Mountain?
Just a lap pull up, but you don't go
Yeah.
upside down on it.
Right. But I think that was the problem with Luke. I could just feel him, going
Well,
back and
probably
forth.
because
And so I kept trying to
I don't
hold, reach over and hold him because I was behind him. And I think that was definitely part of it.
Space Mountain is not one of my favorite rides because the way I don't like getting. Probably what bothered Luke too is you got to get down in that bucket and put your legs out. It's not. I don't know, it's not comfortable to me.
No, I will definitely not put him on that again. I think Mac would love it because I think Mac would just love any kind of roller coaster. But yeah, that was not good. I do think he really liked Soarin'. He was just kind of
My
confused.
kids like soaring.
But he like crossed his legs and he held mine and Addison's hand and just he's kind of like enamored, but at the same time, like, what's gonna happen? But yeah, he liked that. He liked Mission Space. He liked that. He wouldn't smile big, but he was like, "Did you like it?" He goes, "Yeah."
Did you do the orange or the green?
Green, because I didn't want to scare Luke too
Yeah.
much, and I didn't know. So we were trying to just keep it low key. But he did like the bit. The only time I really saw him smile on a ride was the teacups.
That's a cool ride. My father would be puking if he rode it, but.
Same. I did not ride it. Mark did. Well, shamelessly plug in Candy, our
This,
classmate that books our Disney trips. If you want to go to
you're going
Disney.
to Disney, Candy Shetley Turner can hook you up. She is great and she will get up at midnight or six.
She
When
will.
I didn't, she did all my dining and everything because I wasn't doing that. Like she did it all for me. It was awesome.
Mark wanted to book to build his own lightsaber, and he didn't realize he needed like a booking for it, and he booked it incorrectly and all this other stuff. She fixed it, got him in his exact time that he wanted, and got it all taken care of, and showed up and helped us, you know, get our disability pass for Luke. So we had that for rides. So shout out Candy, thank you. And I'm saving my pennies to go back. So
Well, I'll be honest, on those holidays for the homicide, I don't have a new case this week.
okay, so you still want me?
You're
I
gonna
got
talk
one.
about
I
you.
have one.
Okay, so Lacey's gonna talk about her case because I couldn't take any more depression,
All right.
like murder holidays this week.
Well, I feel like mine's appropriate to wrap up because it is a New Year's story. So my story is the person that was murdered was I can't talk. Valerie Zavala Wilson. She was 19 years old, and she went to a New Year's Eve party in California. And she was leaving the party, and it was already after midnight and stuff. And she had actually texted her ex-boyfriend and wanted to see him, you know, after a 19-year-old. She probably was drinking, and I don't think that came out that she was, because she was driving. She did say her friend Anna was drinking, so she was taking her home. And she also ran into a guy that her sister went to school with in high school. He was at the party, so she was taking him home too in her friend Anna's car. Well, anyways, she was found murdered the next day. Valerie was after it had to have been after taking they thought taking these people home, because that was the last text message to her parents, was that she was taking them home from this party. It was somebody else that found her in like a drainage ditch. She was covered by some moving around in my chair. She was under like some brush in a drainage ditch, and she didn't have any pants. Like there was no bottom pants, skirt, or anything like that. And her earlobe was like ripped. She had one earring, the other one was like ripped and bleeding, and it was pretty fresh blood. So when the dispatchers got there and the police got there, they knew that she hadn't really been there long because there wasn't any other blood. So they, of course, you know, start digging in, find out about the text messages, and kind of put a timeline together. So of course their initial suspect is the ex-boyfriend. They had heard that he was, you know, controlling, and that was one of the things that led to their breakup. So they go and talk to him, and he's like, you know, she never made it here. Like, I never saw her. So, you know, they just keep that in the back of their minds. But they're also like, we really need to find Anna's car. And they do go and talk to Anna. She like confirms that, you know, she dropped her off in her car and kept her car and was taking the other guy home, and then going to see the ex-boyfriend Isaac. And the other God, I can't think of his name. Hold on. Puebla. Why can't I remember his name? Samuel Puebla. So Samuel was a 17-year-old high school student that she took home. So they went and talked to him, and he said, yeah, that she dropped him off. They hugged, and that was just kind of it. And, you know, dropped him off for the night. So like, okay. Well, they keep digging into the case. They know it's important to find Anna's car. Well, they find her car at a church. And at the church, it inside was her jacket and some of her belongings, and they were still inside the car. So, you know, they collect all of that. Then they find out that she died from like asphyxiation, blunt force trauma. Well, one of the investigators was like on vacation or gone when all this happened with the holidays, I guess. So when he gets back, he's reviewing the case file, and Samuel's name is familiar. Like he had investigated some type of robbery where he was a suspect, this 17-year-old. So he's like, you know, when we were talking about it, there was stuff found like in a trash can at this church, which is where the car was found. So they went and they looked in the trash bin, and they found some of Valerie's belongings in there. So they were like, we've got to go talk to Samuel. And I think they got a search warrant for his house at this point too. So they go and they search his house. They find women's underwear, multiple women's underwear, and multiple women's cell phones. So he was like sneaking into women's houses and just taking trophies and collecting them. So they collect all that, and then there was the person that did the forensics and the autopsy call said there is saliva on her chest. They found saliva. So they're like, get us a sample, we can compare it. So they tell him like, hey, we found saliva, and I think they told him it was his. I can't remember if they had tested it and already knew it was, or police can lie in investigations. It did turn out to be Samuel's. But then he changed his story that, well, we did more than hug. We were gonna have sex, but it was gonna be consensual. So then he starts changing his story. So they're like, hey, we need to talk. So they, when the person, oh. What also brought up the investigation is, and Samuel as another suspect, is a witness came forward and said, we saw in the news that this woman was found. We might have seen her getting dumped. Like, we didn't see her being dumped, but we saw a van at that spot, which is right before y'all recovered the body. And they gave a description that matched Samuel pretty much. And they said he was wearing a gray two-tone jacket. So when the police are interviewing Samuel later on, he's outside and they're asking him questions, asking him about this saliva found on her. He's changing and he's like gets really nervous. He goes, I'm cold. And they're like, do you want me to go get you a jacket? And he says, yes. So the cops go in and they see the gray two-tone jacket. So they grab that and they go to give it to him, and then they see blood on the jacket. So they collected that as evidence, submitted it. The blood was Valerie's. So they were able to arrest Samuel for the murder, and he was convicted and sentenced to life. He did
Was
go to
that his first murder?
that apparently, like, there's nothing else that ever came out, but he was prom king. He was an A plus student at his high school. He was in high school at the time of this murder. What the state's theory was is that he wanted to have relations with her. She shot him down. I mean, she was on her way to see her ex-boyfriend. And yeah, so that was her story. Her sister ended up going to that church. I don't know if she goes regularly, but she does. She went at least once to just try to see if she felt closer to her sister, because they do believe she was killed at the church parking lot where the car was found. Yeah, they believe that she was murdered there and then he
How
dumped
was
her.
she? I know you said blunt force trauma, but like, was there ever a murder weapon or?
No, I don't believe there's any murder weapon. I think he did everything with his hands.
I just wonder, like, did he kill somebody else before this and we're never gonna know? Like, I don't know. I
He was
guess
so young,
this might have been his first, like, moving up.
and I think he was escalating, because if he was already breaking into women's houses and stealing their panties and their cell phones, I definitely think this was an escalation for sure. And I mean, I believe if the police had not caught him, he would have continued to escalate and kill other women, because I do think with the breaking in and taking up the panties, and I do think he tried to rape her. I don't know if he did. I don't know if there was evidence of that. I didn't see anything about it. But yeah, I think he tried and she refused him, and that's what led him to losing it and him, killing her.
That is a heartbreaking story there. I know, I mean, okay, so since he was 17 when this happened, tried as an adult, correct? So that was one of the issues in the case I talked about last week. There were two minors and then two or three adults, like under six, they were 16 and the others were older. So What does it mean when they try you as an adult versus try you as a juvenile? Because we hear this all the time, but what does that actually mean?
It just means the basically the consequence changes. As a juvenile, they can't sentence you to life in prison. It typically, in most states, you're released at the age of 21. Or you could do indeterminate sentences. It's just the sentencing structure is not as high as of a penalty, essentially, than if you are tried as an adult. And sometimes I struggle with this because sometimes I've had cases that I've seen on shows mainly, because I don't do I've never done a juvenile case. Actually, I've done one. I don't do a ton of them. It has to be something near and dear to me to really take on. My law partner does. She loves them. She absolutely loves taking juvenile cases. My associate, I think, has really liked taking them. There's some things that bother me with the juvenile process. But sometimes I see these cases and they're tried as an adult and I'm like, this is just not appropriate. And, you know, when you learn about how the brain develops and matures and functions, you know, some of these things, and they're tried as an adult. Like, there's this one kid, he broke into this house. They were trying to steal money for marijuana. And he ended up, one of the people that broke in the house with him ended up getting shot by the homeowner, which is the homeowner's legal right. He has that legal right to defend himself. He didn't know if they were there to harm him or what. So there's nothing wrong with what the homeowner did. But because they all broke in and they were in the commission of a felony, he was charged with his friend's murder under the felony murder rule and got a life sentence. And he was only 16 years old. And see, that kind of bothers me because, like, I think at 15, 16, maybe 17 years old, like, are you really thinking about the felony murder rule? I mean, if you think it's funny to break into a place for money for weed, like, I just don't think you're really thinking that far in advance. I don't think your brain is mature enough to really grasp those consequences to that extent to where you should get life in prison for that. None of them had weapons that I can remember. And like I said, I don't think the homeowner did anything wrong. I just think trying him as an adult under the felony murder rule, like, this just really bothers me. But in this case, it doesn't bother me. I really think this kid,
he knew what he was doing,
was an absolute predator. I don't know. Perhaps there was some abuse that led to this in his childhood. I don't know. But what bothers me is the escalation of the robberies and the breaking in and now leading to this. I just don't think he would ever be safe for society. Whereas the case I was just talking about, I don't think he's a threat to society. I think what he did was just something a stupid teenager might think to do and not realize the consequences. But this guy, I definitely think if he didn't understand the consequences, he definitely understood he was wanting to harm women.
He was going to be a serial killer. Like, that's kind of what it was looking like, I guess. But it has to be certain crimes to be tried as an adult, right? Like, shoplifting, if you just go into Walmart and grab, you know, a tube of lipstick and right, you're 12 years old, you're not going to be tried as an adult. It has to be, like, a certain level of crime to put that on the table, correct?
Yeah, and typically when you see it, it's someone's harmed. There's a victim. You know, usually you're seeing somebody that was harmed by, you know, a murder, a really bad assault, attempted, stuff like that is when you're typically going to see, you know, people charged, you know, juveniles charged as adults.
But if you are a minor, but you're charged as an adult, they still cannot bring the death penalty, correct?
Correct. And I do think every state might be different in that, but my understanding is you cannot bring on that. It can only be life.
Well, so in the case I did last week, it was the 16-year-old was really the ringleader of this gang going around killing people. But she was 16, and it was only her and one other guy that actually were pulling the triggers. The other two were just there, but they were counted the same because they were a part of it. But the other guy got the death penalty because he was 19, mm-hmm. where really he was doing everything because the 16-year-old girl was telling him to. But she only has life in prison. He's already been executed, like, because this happened in the early 90s.
Yeah.
But she was really the cause of it, and she was the master manipulator. And because of certain laws and rules, this was in Dayton, Ohio. I was doing some research. She actually, because she was a minor when this happened and when she was sentenced, she has to have parole here. Now, they don't have to grant it to her, sure. but there's this law in Ohio that she has the right to parole hearings because she was a minor. And it just was kind of crazy that, like, he died for it, even though they all were terrible. They all need to be behind bars for the rest of their life. But how four people, with the worst one getting the least sentence.
Right. And I think as an over, like, as a staple, I think any, even if tried as an adult, you should be eligible for parole. I like that because then that gives situations like in the juvenile case I was talking about where I don't think they're a threat to society. It would give them an opportunity to get out. And there's so many other stories like that one. It's not just that one. Not where what is that, you know, really something bad and evil, but it gives
The girl from last week was just evil.
And if we give them the right, like you said, they don't have to. I mean, me and you have said before, we don't ever think Susan Smith is going to get parole. So, but it at least gives a procedure and a board power to let somebody out if deemed appropriate. And it's very hard to win those. I mean, look at Charles Manson. They applied for parole several times before some of them got it. And you may disagree with that, but I do like the idea of parole for juveniles that commit violent crimes, because if there ever is a time to let them out, at least there is a board of people that would, a majority would have to agree to release them. I like that process as a staple. You know, even if tried as an adult.
I think it probably for me depends on the situation. That girl killed six people. Like, you're not coming back from that one. But for somebody that was
choose, like, well, which crimes get it and which don't, and because situations are always so different. So I think if you just make it part of the process, a parole board's going to know that they're going to get the heinousness of the crime.
She just killed out of boredom. So, I mean, I think with her situation, she was bored. She just killed people. She's always going to kill people. And I think any, like, psychiatrist that would come in and examine her would see she's a sociopath kind of thing, where the person who was breaking in to get money for drugs probably was not a sociopath, just stupid.
Stupid, right. Absolutely. A teenager. Yeah. So, that wraps up our homicide during the holidays series. Let us know what y'all thought of this series. I don't know where we're headed next in January. If Lauren does chime in now, if not, we'll let you know when we figure it out ourselves.
I think we have some different thoughts coming up, like possibly having some of our fans come on and have like their thoughts, but that's if we can pull their arm into being on this. Or going deep diving into some different cults, sister wives, like those type things. Kind of maybe a little off from just straight up like murder, mayhem, Dateline type stuff. A little
bit after our homicide holidays. But these have been some really dark.
Oh, yeah. These cases have been terrible, these murders at the holidays. Yeah. So maybe something a little more, not that cults are lighthearted, but a little more. Less murder. But y'all give us ideas. Send us a DM. Send us an email. We'd love to have it. But we hope you all have a happy new year.
Stay safe. Bye.
Bye.